Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way. Podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan. This is the Fans U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Don't wait for comfort with Area Heating and Cooling. Go to areaheating.com today, your local Train comfort specialists. It's hard to stop a train.
It's U.S. Open Week on Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
It is U.S. Open Week. Hot World Cup talk. We'll talk the U.S. Open. Jason Sobel of the Action Network. Someone tell me that's like a big gambling site as well. The Action Network.
Okay.
Sure. He'll join us at 5:30. We will talk U.S. Open. Lots of stuff to get to today. We do have some NBA stuff. We'll try to spare you on some of the LeBron talk. For people bitching about soccer, we could talk about where LeBron's going for the next 9 hours, like every other show.
For the next 2 months.
Good God. I know. Can't he just make the announcement and just be done with it?
Did you see what the clickbait of the day was on ESPN today?
Was that the Scottie Pippen thing?
No. It was kind of cool in terms of the art that was involved in it, but it was a pitch for every NBA team on how they're going to land or why they would land LeBron.
I did see that, but I didn't click on it. I think I was bothered by the Jeffrey Arnold article that I clicked on. The 17 trades that the Portland Trailblazers could pull off in the offseason.
You see that got reposted today?
Yeah, it did.
Because of the Kawhi rumor that the Celtics tried to trade for him?
Well, it probably worked in that. I mean, our three dumbasses clicked on it. It got me. And I think I was so enraged that like when clickbait gets you, aren't you then just, you're so disgusted that you don't want to click on anything else. You brush it off. So nothing got me clickbait today. Well, because I got sucked into the Blazer trade clickbait yesterday.
I'm glad I clicked on it because it had some really cool art for each team. They had some art made for LeBron with the team for some of the sales, their points they were trying to make. Mm-hmm. But generally, it was really stupid.
The one I saw today was, and I guess it wasn't necessarily clickbait. I was just kind of scrolling through. I think it was like the Big Lead or something. And I saw this that, you know, there was the rumor that LeBron, his kid enrolled in L.A., some L.A. private school, and was going to play with Gary Payton's kid. And Scottie Pippen was on some show today, and I guess his kid plays on that team too. And Scottie Pippen wouldn't say, Scottie Pippen said that he couldn't debunk the rumor. Rumor that LeBron's kid was gonna play with his. So that was like Scottie Pippen not confirming or denying that LeBron's kid is playing basketball with his kid in Los Angeles and Gary Payton's kid. That was the big LeBron no news today.
Why is this on the front page of things?
It's a slow day in sports.
Yeah, but
well, not really. But I mean, there's a lot of ancillary stuff. But
I'd rather the ancillary stuff that's actually sports related instead of that be on the front page. That's just my own.
Well, it's like it's the biggest deal. Like anytime LeBron is going to go somewhere, it shifts the balance of power in the NBA. I actually think, believe it or not, and I swear we will get to NFL stuff, whether we get here or we'll do it next. The landscape of the NBA is actually quite interesting. Like on the reports that Boston was trying to deal for Kawhi Leonard. When you think about it, so LeBron James is the best player in the NBA. And Kawhi Leonard is probably a top five or six player. Maybe outside of LeBron, the best two-way player in the NBA. And one is going to be on the move, or I guess could be on the move if he wanted to. And Kawhi Leonard, with only a year left, can basically force his way out of San Antonio. Look, if San Antonio is going to offer him the Supermax, and if Kawhi Leonard turns that down, then the writing's on the wall and San Antonio has to deal him. They can't let him walk for nothing. And so at that point, you know, you could have a major shift in power there in the NBA. And then you throw in Paul George and the likes that they could be moving around in the offseason. And I think for a lot of people, that is fairly intriguing.
That is intriguing. But I don't care that Scottie Pippen's kids go to the same school that LeBron's kids go to, which may be a reason as to why he's picking the Lakers. Like, that means nothing. It's just TMZ kind of stuff. I don't care about that.
But that's, I mean, that is what, that's what we've become. Have you seen Anchorman 2?
No, because I heard it was awful and I decided to spare myself.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I liked Anchorman 2. I thought it was pretty funny. And the best part about Anchorman 2 was they talk about, well, I guess then it's like a, it's a satire on how modern news came to be. Right. So Ron Burgundy ends up getting hired by a new news network, basically like a Fox News or a CNN, a 24-hour news cycle. And there's no real news to report. And so Burgundy makes up news. Like the whole, that's the whole joke of it is he's on at like 1 a.m. He's on the overnight news and he follows like a car chase. There's a car chase going on and Burgundy's like, let's cut live to it. And he just starts randomly speculating about what's going on in the car chase. He has no facts. He's just watching a car chase and speculating on what could be the guy's motive or what he's doing. And it draws a huge number. And that kind of becomes news, that there's not enough news to fill it. And that's really what like the LeBron stuff has become is, you know, we have sports talk now, we have the internet. It used to be when you were growing up, you had the newspaper and you had, you know, ESPN or whatever, but the news cycle has become such where there's just such an appetite for it. There really isn't enough news stories to fill everything. And so you go off of the sensational stuff that, and that's whether it's clickbait or kind of that, I don't know what will or won't happen. And that essentially has become, it's become sports news. In fact, I would make the argument that that is probably the biggest part of sports news. I mean, when something breaks, obviously it's a big deal, or when there's a Super Bowl and that gets a lot of coverage. But I'll bet you that that stupid Oregonian article about the 17 proposed trades, I'll bet you that was one of the more clicked on stories that the Oregonian has had in quite some time.
Yeah, but see, there's still a difference between that, which is talking about the things that worked in the trade machine or whatever, as ridiculous as they may have been, that is it, they're all technically possibilities. And then talking about where one of the NBA players' sons is currently enrolled in school, maybe based on other players saying that maybe their sons are also enrolled there.
Because
to me, there's a big gap between that and the Scottie Pippen thing.
But there's a need to be first. And the only way you can be first is by having some sort of stupid in like that. Like the only people that know what's going to happen is LeBron and probably a very small group of people.
He might not even know yet.
He probably, but yeah, I do believe him when I think this is going to be a tough decision. But unless you have one of those things, the only way that you can be first on it is to try to find some sort of investigative clue to it, like LeBron's kid or when LaMarcus was going to sell his home. Everyone's always looking for an angle. Everyone's looking for a scoop. And in the rush to be first, and there's really not a negative to being wrong, right? Like I can come out today and say, well, you know, sources close to me, Kawhi Leonard is going so-and-so, and LeBron James is going to go so-and-so. And if it doesn't work out, who cares? It's just something, it's
my sources were wrong. Oh,
it's a fart in the wind. You just kind of throw it out there. But if you're right, then you get to stand up there. And then that's Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith is the biggest thing going on ESPN. I think he's their highest paid, personality. Stephen A. Smith is the highest paid person at ESPN as far as on-air talent goes. How many times is Stephen A. Smith right? He just gets on there and yells louder than everyone else, you know, and then makes a bunch of proclamations. And the guy can be wrong 1,000 times, but if he's right once, then he gets to stand up and be like, I told you. And he can say sources close to him told him that Kobe said this. Sources close to him say that Kevin Durant can do that. And then we've had Kobe and Durant and people like that be like, whatever. No one I talk to talks to Stephen A. Smith. And then he can go on there and pick a fight with those guys. And again, that's a ratings bonanza. That is what modern sports journalism has become. And in some sense, it's the same thing what's happening with Fox News or CNN or MSNBC. There's just not enough actual news to fill in the 24-hour news cycle. And so we create news. The Brett Favre of non-news, right? What's Brett Favre going to do? That's the same thing. What's LeBron James going to do? At least with LeBron, like when Brett Favre, you know, where he was going to go, at least with this, this changes the dynamic of the NBA. Where LeBron James goes, where Kawhi Leonard goes, and God forbid they ended up together, that changes the fate of the NBA. The other piece of NBA news is that I read today is that the Golden State in 2 years may go after Anthony Davis. They could let Klay Thompson and Draymond Green walk and then go get Anthony Davis. Talk about something that's depressing.
The never-ending run of the Warriors.
Yeah, the never-ending run of that. Holy, you know what? All right, we come back, I promise. NFL and maybe some college football stuff. Football, when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
In the news coming up, we have hot raccoon news, along with a couple local stories that we'll get to here in about 10, 15 minutes. Some NFL news and notes today. I saw this one that despite the Patriots' denial that Rob Gronkowski was ever on the trading block, Pro Football Talk had it today that a couple days before the draft, they were indeed shopping Mr. Gronkowski, although they've come out and said now there's no chance they'll possibly trade him. But they were trying to move him before the draft. There's just in the world of the NFL, you know, we talk about all the movement that goes on in the NBA. There is no other sport that is as savage and brutal when it comes to player movement than the NFL. Rob Gronkowski is probably one of the two or three best tight ends of all time. But if you're not healthy and you can't stay on the field, or you decide if you're at all a pain in the ass, you're done. It's like what's going on with Earl Thomas right now up in Seattle. Earl Thomas is not even 30 years old, and Earl Thomas is one of the two or three best safeties in the NFL. And Earl Thomas can't get a contract. David Johnson, I saw today, the running back out of Arizona, he's talking about, for all, as good as David Johnson has been, one, he's been beat up a lot, but he's still on a rookie deal. David Johnson has made nothing so far in the NFL, and David Johnson wants a new deal, and everyone's like, not so much. Like Le'Veon Bell is phenomenal and has been phenomenal, and that guy can't get a long-term contract. And then you look around the NBA, you don't have to be.
You can get paid a lot on the franchise tag, though, that's for sure.
That is true, but it's a one-year deal. It's not even guaranteed. So I just thought it was interesting that, like, there in New England, like, what's going on with Gronk, like, that marriage will end sooner than later. I mean, whether it actually happens this offseason or not, Gronk is not long for New England. And you can even stuff with Brady now. Brady and Gronk and what's going on, that's not going to end well either. Like, the whole Tom Brady thing, because I guess in the Gronkowski story that they were shopping Gronk supposedly to try to move up to get Baker Mayfield. Like Baker, and this was before Baker Mayfield, I guess, was considered to be the number one guy. Obviously, New England didn't have enough to move up and get number one, but the fact that they were even considering that, supposedly to try to make a move to get Baker Mayfield, just it made me scratch my head when I read that today. You had Baker Mayfield. You had Jimmy Garoppolo. Just the more I read that story and the more you read about some of the, dissension that's going on in New England between Brady, between Gronk, now with Edelman being busted for the unknown substance, which is something in its own right. I guess they didn't know, like they don't know what Edelman tested positive for. Did you read that?
I didn't see that. No,
it's an unknown substance. I'm not certain. Like I tried, this was 2-3 days ago that I saw this. I tried digging into that a little bit more today, and I still can't find how they suspended him when they don't know what it is. Like they don't know what the substance is, but they know that it's a performance enhancing substance.
That seems almost as if they're lying about that, that they're lying about it being an unknown substance to me, because that you can't, I don't think you could suspend him if you didn't know what it was.
I didn't fully understand what
like,
was,
oh, this, we don't know what this is. Suspended.
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Like it was his testosterone level super high, the ratio off. And they're like, okay, clearly you're on something, but we don't know what it is. Like I
guess that could be possible.
But you look at all this that's going on in New England and clearly there's a ton of drama happening there. But I just thought it was strange that if you were willing to give up Rob Gronkowski to try to and other assets to try to move up and take a quarterback in the first round, why on God's green earth didn't you just go with Jimmy Garoppolo? Like Garoppolo's got everyone's pants tied in San Francisco right now.
Because Bill Belichick was really angry at Robert Kraft and said, hey, watch this, and traded him for nothing.
But Robert Kraft actually is the one that makes that decision. I mean, but by all accounts, it was Belichick that wanted to move on from Brady. It just like, and I get that, you know, you almost won the Super Bowl last year with Tom Brady, but realize you could have made another run with Tom Brady and then moved on right now. So
we talked about that though, right? Didn't we don't know actually what happened, but didn't we guess that there was some sort of a Bill Belichick v. Robert Kraft? Well, if you're not going to let me do this, then I'm just going to do this, kind of like a undermining of Robert Kraft with the Garoppolo stuff.
But Robert Kraft has to sign off on it. Like, Robert Kraft had to make that decision. But if I told you right now, like, look at the hype that's going on in San Francisco right now with Garoppolo, and I get San Francisco probably is not going to be like a Super Bowl contender, but they were 5-0 with Garoppolo as a starter. And you look at San Francisco's roster, it's pretty nice. Like, I know Pete Carroll came out today and said that he really likes this team in Seattle, which, I mean, I suppose you're supposed to say that. But when you look at what the Rams have going on and you look at what the 49ers are building and some of the defections there in Seattle, look, the 49ers in a year or two easily could be considered the best team in that division. And if this roster keeps getting built the way it has over the last couple of years, and if Garoppolo turns out to be the real deal, you're going to look back on this. I said it at the time, and today it confirmed in my Stephen A. Smith hot takes. New England will look back at this Jimmy Garoppolo thing as the worst decision they've made in 20 years. That if I told you right now, like if you were starting a franchise right now, and you had a choice between at this point in their career, Jimmy Garoppolo or Tom Brady, would anyone take Tom Brady?
No, of course not. Anyone? Because Tom Brady has, in most people's minds, like what, 1 or 2 years before he's done, if that?
Maybe he plays 3. Who knows? But is there a team in the NFL anywhere that would take Tom Brady over Jimmy Garoppolo? And yet, that's exactly what New England did. They didn't have to make that decision last year. They could have had the exact same year they had last year with Tom Brady, made a run at that Super Bowl, and then this offseason made that switch. They made Jimmy Garoppolo the highest paid quarterback in the NFL off of 5 games. That's how much San Francisco thought of him. And New England gave that up.
For like a 5th round pick?
I think it was a 2nd or a 3rd.
Okay.
They gave him up for 1 pick. And you were willing to give up Gronk, again, best tight end of the game. I know there's some health issues there. And supposedly,
literally every year, health issues.
Yeah. But when healthy, maybe the biggest matchup nightmare in the NFL. And that's the report, is that you were willing to give him up and other things to try to move up to take Baker Mayfield. A 6-foot, maybe he will, maybe he won't.
Yeah, risky option.
But you weren't, you weren't willing to give up. You didn't have to give up anything other than saying goodbye to Tom Brady to have Jimmy Garoppolo, who some people right now have as a top 10 quarterback in the league. I say pump my brakes on that. Not ready to say Jimmy Garoppolo is a top 10 quarterback, but I mean, if you were selecting quarterbacks right now, you just had to do a blank slate. Garoppolo's going sooner than later. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are getting older. I mean, obviously you take the Drew Breeses and the Tom Brady's and that over him. But if you're taking all things into consideration, age, and you're listing the quarterbacks you're going to take, there's not that many you get to before you take Jimmy Garoppolo, and New England had to give up nothing.
So what you're saying is the Patriots don't know what on earth they're doing. If all the reports are true, they're kind of just all over the place right now. They're kind of in this weird middle position of, well, we've got Tom Brady, who's the GOAT, but we also know we're not going to have him in a couple of years, but we got to make sure Tom's happy, but we also got to plan for the future.
When I was reading today, that's what was going through my mind. Is you look at between the Edelman suspension, the tension last year between Brady, the Guerrero thing, the fact that Edelman is a Guerrero guy, so is Gronk, and now we've got all this stuff about whether Gronk is or isn't part of their future plans, that didn't come from nowhere, that they were indeed shopping him before the draft to move up and take Baker Mayfield. Like, we keep wondering when it's going to end for New England, and we thought maybe last year, you know, that would do them in, and clearly it didn't, right? They came a play or two away from winning the Super Bowl. But you look at what's going on in New England, and it's starting to look like other franchises. The things that take down other franchises, to me, are starting to creep in to New England. We haven't seen that like with Golden State, but all dynasties end. They all crumble, whether it's financial, whether it's injury, whether it's age. Just the tentacles of winning eventually choke out every organization. And up until this point, for the last 16, 17 years, nothing's been able to get to New England. And yet every day you read something new, you just wonder if those vines are starting to just creep in and start to strangle just a little bit with New England. And does one bad year, all it takes is one bad year, one injury, and maybe this is the end. And so I know everyone thinks New England's going to be back. Maybe last year was it. Maybe last year was the final curtain call to what is to me, the greatest modern day dynasty in NFL history.
It is helpful that they're in the AFC East and they have to deal with the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills.
Certainly makes it easier.
Yeah.
But it's not about making the playoffs if you're New England.
Oh, for sure.
Winning Super Bowls. All right, we come back in the news here, though. Lynch with SportsCenter.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in. We'll get to end the news in a moment. Trying to figure something out right now. I was trying to flip on the Mariner game. I saw my brother was tweeting about it. So the M's are playing a little day game here, but it's not on route. I went to flip over, and I've got West Coast sport fishing happening. Where the hell is the Mariner game?
I don't know.
Is this one of those DB freaking Facebook games?
It might be.
Oh, for heavens, it is. Watch on Facebook.
Well...
Pete's sakes.
Put it on your computer if you want to watch it, I guess.
I don't have Facebook.
Well, I guess you'll just have to follow it like we used to in the old days on your phone.
Well, what the hell?
Follow it with the little GameCast app.
Boy, that pisses me off to no end. It's a 6-6 game, right?
Eighth inning. Going for the sweep.
Ryan, I guess, just hit a home run.
Ryan.
Well, it's Ryan with an O.
Yeah.
I refuse to call him Ryan. It's Ryan. Healy, I guess, just tied the damn thing up.
Yep.
And I can't watch it because I don't have Facebook. That cheesed me because last time they did this, Bartolo Colon was pitching against them, and Colon was dominating. So that was the one where I drove in, and the same thing, it was a day game, and I was like, hey, why is the Mariner game on? We turned to root, and sure enough, it wasn't on. I couldn't watch Bartolo Colon because it's Facebook. How many people can possibly be watching that? If you're watching that right now, please let me know how many people are watching that.
Let me go look real quick because I do have Facebook, unlike you. And I can tell you how many people are watching it. Seattle Mariners?
Yeah, that's right out.
Currently 40,000 viewers.
Really?
Yes.
You could have 40,001, but instead I've got sport fishing going on. I've got a guy on the bow of a boat in waders. And by the way, who the hell watches fishing on TV?
Probably people who like to fish.
Really?
Just like,
I like to fish.
Yeah, but you like a sport fisher, or do you go casually fish every once in a while?
Well, define sport fisherman. I've been trophy fishing. I've been on the Bonita. I've been on the Bonita Run in the Gulf of Mexico, Mike.
Do you own a boat and go out every single weekend and try to catch your dinner every single weekend and also enter competitions and all that kind of stuff?
No, I do not.
Well, those people probably love watching fishing on TV.
Really?
Well, you talk about Rob watching all the golf shows all day, every day. There's got to be an audience for this in the same realm. I watch MLB Network all the freaking time.
You don't play baseball. I love baseball. You don't play baseball. I love fishing. I just don't want to watch it on TV. I want to watch the Mariners.
As I said, there's probably an audience of diehard fishermen and women who are watching that right now.
Why is this idiot wearing waders when he's on a boat in the first place? He's wearing chest waders. He's on the bow of a boat. Why the hell has he got those on?
I don't know.
Does he really need to wear those? It's like the cycling guy that's going down to the market. He's got his Lance Armstrong helmet on and his unitard. You don't need that.
But don't you own some nice bike outfit clothes?
No, I don't.
I thought you had one of the tighter ones.
No, I've got the Gooch protector, but I wear real shorts over the top of that. Oh,
the Gooch protector. Okay.
Yes.
With like the little like foam pad underneath?
Oh, it's not a little one. I buy like the big dog.
Oh.
It's like things like quarter inch thick. It's like sitting on a couch cushion. But then I put normal shorts over the top of that. I don't wear cycling outfits. I do have the little shoes, though.
Mm.
But I don't wear them very often.
Doesn't that... I'm not someone who's a cyclist, literally ever, outside of learning how to ride a bicycle as a kid. Isn't that hard to use when they latch your feet onto the actual pedals? Like, what if you slightly fall? Then you're stuck. You can't, like, put your leg out.
You just have to push down and twist. But I will tell you that...
So when you're falling, you have enough time and reaction to push down and twist, stick your leg out, and catch yourself.
It makes it a lot easier to ride, but I don't... My pedals have normal on one side, and then there's the clip-ins on the bottom. So you can turn the pedal over. So you can wear flats, just regular shoes if you want, or you can clip in. And I will tell you this, that every time I've fallen on my bike, it has been when I'm clipped in.
Mm.
So
because
I am,
there's no way on earth you're going to stop yourself.
You can. It's just it's in like if you have to swerve to miss something, the first instinct is to not go down and twist. Your first instinct is to just
reach your leg out,
yeah,
which is then stuck.
And then it's stuck, and yeah, you. I haven't crashed that many times, but yes, the handful of times that I have had to take an evasive maneuver and eat it, I have been wearing the clip-ins. So I don't wear them very often. Mm. And I would just like to say once again, Facebook sucks, and I'm pissed off that I have some guy in waders fishing on a boat instead of watching a tied Major League Baseball game. But I digress, because right now we have to get to In the News. I am not your noted newsman. I am your noted news contributor.
Yes.
Because our noted newsman is out. He's got the HIV or something. I don't know. Rob's dying.
No, he's not.
Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. By the way, you still have like an hour and a half. It's free tacos. Did you see this today?
I did not.
Now until 6 o'clock. I should have said this at the start of the program.
It doesn't matter to us. We can't get the free tacos.
No, I can't. But if someone wants to go pick us up a free taco and bring it down, 700 Bancroft, bring me everyone in America. You can get one free Doritos Loco taco. That's the crazy taco, by the way. In case you were wondering, if you didn't speak Spanish like I do. That's the crazy taco.
Doritos crazy taco.
Yes. I guess something that Golden State did. I don't know. It's somehow involved around the NBA. The finals, they stole a game on Cleveland's home court. So today's the day from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So you got like an hour and 20 minutes and change. If you want to cruise on over into Taco Bell, and you can get yourself a free Doritos Loco taco. Which I've never had?
No, I haven't had Taco Bell in a very long time.
Look, I get that people love Taco Bell. I can't. And like, I'm not. Like, Rob's a fast food snob. Like, Rob's like, oh, fast food. Shut up, Rob. Fast food's delicious. Quit pretending that it's not.
I mean, I'm kind of on Rob's side on this.
Bull crap.
I haven't eaten fast food for like 8 years.
Yeah, but that's because you don't want to be fat. If I put a Wendy's chicken sandwich down in front of you right now, and I told you that it wasn't going to make you gain 9 pounds, you'd shovel that in your fat face so fast.
Sook, do you not remember when I was fasting and you put McDonald's in front of me for hours?
But that's because that was a religious thing. Don't tell me that fast food isn't delicious. It's horrible for you, and it probably makes you feel like hell afterwards.
I will say,
but there's a reason why people order it. It's delicious.
I will say, I had one bite of a Carl's Jr. burger when they were doing the Special Olympics stuff in it. I mean, it was fine, but it was just kind of like, I don't know. I think when you stop eating fast food, it just doesn't taste the same way as when you eat fast food regularly. You know what I mean? It loses some of the added benefits of the, like, oh, this is great, I'm having a Big Mac, you know?
I try not to eat fast food because I just am a naturally a big guy. And if I eat, yeah, Mike's raising his hand too. If I eat fast food, I'll weigh 340 pounds.
Yep.
Like, I just can't eat like that. I mean, I eat actually pretty healthy and I weigh 265 pounds. Like, it's just,
yep.
Yeah, it's just, I'm not naturally meant to be skinny. I have to work hard to be this fat. And so, like, that's why I don't eat fast food.
I work so hard.
Yes, I work out every day.
Yeah, I work out a lot, and I eat really healthy most days. There are days where I'll go a little nuts, but
yeah, I probably go 4 to 5 days out of the week I eat healthy.
Yep.
And yet, this is what the good Lord gave me. It's asinine. Damn genetics. But Taco Bell, I find to be the most offensive of the fast foods. Like, I want nothing. I never have a craving for Taco Bell. Like, I drive by a Chick-fil-A and I'm like, Chick-fil-A. Wendy's gets me with a spicy chicken sandwich. Like, you get like a I love Five Guys. Five Guys is a great burger. You know, that wrote me in. Never do I drive by a Taco Bell and I'm like, diarrhea. It doesn't do anything for me. But my kids love it. So occasionally, like, I'll drive through them through the drive-thru and I don't get anything. But if you're so inclined, you can get, for the next hour and 15 minutes, a free Doritos Loco Taco.
Will say, if you guys bring it down to this, I'll try one. Why not? It's free after all.
Well, are you a Chick-fil-A guy?
I've never had Chick-fil-A.
All right. Well, then this week, I'm going to bring you a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Okay.
And you try to tell me that that's gross.
Okay.
You won't. It is so.
I guarantee you, I won't think it's gross. I know that for a fact. I think it'll be fine.
The bun is buttery goodness. The chicken sandwich is it's crisp and juicy. I may have to get one on my way home. Oh, they're so good.
Okay.
They're so damn good. Like, if you told me that there was a free chicken sandwich available at Chick-fil-A today instead of the Doritos Loco Taco, I'm probably there. Let's see. Oh, we got a break. When we come back, we've got a man shot in Vancouver. But more importantly, we got to get to the raccoon story. Were you following the raccoon? The
one that's on the top of the building?
Well, it's we have a resolution to it.
Oh, by the way, Mariners walk-off home run. Mitch Haniger, 2-run shot, 9th inning. They win 8-6.
I would have loved to have seen it. I love Mitch Haniger. I love walk-off home runs. I'd like to watch it, but no. I have to watch this donkey and hip waders fish. Thanks a lot, Zuckerberg. Freaking Facebook. Would have liked to have seen it. Can't. Me ranting about something else in raccoons when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in. We are in the midst of In the News. Me and Mike were fat shaming ourselves during the break.
I wouldn't call it fat shaming. I'd call it supporting our own issues that happen to us on a weekly basis. The amount that I eat healthy and work out, I should not be as heavy as I am.
Agreed. Like you think, like if you see those people that like all of a sudden they lose all this weight and they get in shape and they're like, what did you do? Oh, I started walking and, you know, I worked out.
I hate that one.
Once or twice.
I walk for an hour every day and I lost 30 pounds.
Yeah. You just
screw
wanna,
you.
You want to punch him right in the face. You son of a. Very angry. But I think we got through it together. There was a common bond.
There is a common bond. However, I gave you the light at the end of the tunnel to not feel shame, and you said, no, I have to keep shaming myself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I just stopped weighing myself. That's my thing.
I mean, I get right on that scale every day and stare at myself and be like, nice try, fatty.
I gauge it based on how I look, not based on what the number tells me, because that is always misleading. Either good or bad, it's misleading.
I like that shame. It keeps you out of the fridge. You're like, hey, like I go, like when you get down to the, like for me, it's like in the 260s and I'm feeling all good. You get on that scale and it says 270 and you're like, all right, fatty, put down that slice of pizza, tubby. Not going to happen today.
One more extra workout you're doing this week. Let's go.
Time to do some burpees.
That's the thing is I don't really have issues with willpower. Like if I know I shouldn't eat something, then I just don't eat, but it still doesn't work. It's so frustrating.
All right. Well, Mike, your wife is a Minnesotan, right?
She is, sort of. I mean, she lived there for some of her life.
Did she get caught up in the raccoon?
No, I don't even think she knows what's going on.
How did you not see this? Like, this took the internet by storm. And
I saw it. I'm saying she probably didn't see it.
I love raccoons. I have gone on record in saying that I think I would give up one of my kids if I could get a raccoon. I just, they're the most adorable things ever. I want a trash panda so, so bad. And this caught the nation by storm that I guess it was at the USB building in downtown Minneapolis.
Okay.
And I don't know what the building is, but it's a giant high rise. It's like 27 stories tall. And a raccoon climbed up. He went Spider-Man. I think there's like texture on the wall. It's like a stucco wall or something. And the little raccoon climbed up the top of it. And he caught everyone's attention because he was just hanging out like on the 23rd floor. And people were terrified whether he was going to fall. The fire department wouldn't say that. They said they wouldn't go up and try to risk a rescue. And it became like honestly, we were getting like live hour by hour updates.
The only thing I saw of it, because I didn't see this until pretty late, was on my Facebook feed. One of her friends or family from Minnesota shared a live video of it.
Yeah.
And the thing said, hey, we're back. We got the live video back. And the raccoon's still up there on the 30th floor.
Yeah, it was just like hanging out. Like people were like
it's one of those like old fashioned college looking buildings that has a little like divots near the windows.
Yeah, there's like
it was just like sitting on
like
it.
Like some traction. And it was just the best thing ever. Like people were like taking video outside of their office windows. It was like my dream to have a raccoon just like climb into my house and then hang out with me. Well, it's over. The raccoon finally made its way to the top of the building, and they were able to capture it. They lured it up there with some cat food.
That's pretty awesome that it got all the way to the top without falling off. That's...
No, it climbed 30 floors, yeah. and the people were scared because I guess it went 24 hours without food or water because it was... People thought it was stuck. It was just like hanging out on the ledge of the 23rd floor. It was like grooming itself, and then it started to climb down, and it looked like it was defying gravity. Like it was climbing straight down. You're like, oh my God, it's going to fall. And they were worried about going up and messing with it for fear that it would lose its balance and fall off and then splat. But I guess in the middle of the night, it made its way to the top of the building, climbed the 30 stories, and is now safe and sound.
That is the most badass raccoon that has ever existed, probably.
I love them.
Let's just climb an entire 30-foot building. We'll be fine.
And now I'm getting the inevitable, oh, you don't want a raccoon. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Whatever. I want one.
You want to deal with the consequences because you love them.
I want to deal with the consequences. There's a little meme out there of a guy eating popcorn with a little raccoon sitting next to him eating popcorn out of the same bucket. I'm in. I get that it's going to tear some things apart.
You, like, get a raccoon, and the first thing you do is get a bucket of popcorn and recreate the picture.
Yes. And I want to train the raccoon to ride my bulldog. Like, you see, the little rally monkey that rides the border collie. Why can't I have a raccoon that hangs out with my bulldog? And they're, like, ride around and be best friends. It's all I want in this world. Well, that and a goat. Possibly a mini donkey.
You had goats.
Maybe an owl.
So you want a farm.
Yeah, but I don't
want your own zoo.
I don't want to live on a farm. I don't want a bunch of the same farm animals.
So you want a zoo? You want your own personal mini zoo?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss my goats. They were murdered by the Russian mob. And I'm not kidding.
We have heard that story.
I miss them.
We got this text, and we've already talked about this, but I want to reiterate. For a superpower, would you guys rather be able to fly or eat whatever you want without gaining weight? The latter.
Eat whatever I want without gaining weight. In fact, I'm going to flip the script on that. That's not good enough. I want every time I eat something bad for me, I get in better shape.
Mm.
That would be my superpower. Like,
I just want that no matter what I eat, I'm capped at the healthy amount of calories for that day, and I get the exact amount of sustenance and vitamins and all that I need, but I can eat however much I want. That's what I want. That's my perfect superpower.
Mine would be like, I really want these abs to come in. Got to eat this second rack of ribs. I don't want to. I'm going to feel sick, but you know what? The gains that I'm going to make after it.
The abs are going to be worth it.
The abs are going to be worth it. Like, the worse I eat, the better I look. Like, I'd be eating Dorito Locos Tacos right now. Like, oh, I'm going to pay for this in the morning. I'm going to pay for it with some abs and a sweet bicep pump. Give me that.
I want that more than any other superpower that could possibly be.
Yeah.
I want that ability because I like good food. So I want to be able to eat it all the time, but I can't because I'm heavy.
Just sitting down at a good Italian restaurant, just bread loaded up with cream sauce. Let's just do this.
Hey, I really, really like this pasta, but I kind of already wanted that one too. Let's just get both.
Get them both.
Why not?
Hey, why don't you throw some cheese on that garlic bread while you're at it?
Extra cheese, please.
Yeah. And, why don't we fry up some of those meatballs? Yeah, fry them. Yeah, let's coat that in some breadcrumbs. Throw some seasoning on. Let's take that for a deep fry. It's going
to
be delicious.
Make sure the wad of butter you put in to cook it is huge. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. And then, Mike, I thought you would enjoy this one. I saw this on Oregon Live. For the first time in Oregon history, on a full-time salary, you cannot afford a one-bedroom apartment in the state of Oregon. I thought you'd appreciate that because we were talking about the whole housing thing that they said that's the first time that this has happened in Oregon.
On a full-time salary?
On a full-time salary, you cannot afford a one-bedroom apartment. And then on a national note, I saw that anyone making a full-time minimum wage cannot afford a two-bedroom apartment anywhere in the United States.
Good. Great to know that that's where we are as a country right now. really appreciate it. Appreciate all the work to help my generation of people who make a lot less money than you did into buying homes. Appreciate it. Thanks.
We were talking about that, the other day with the housing thing, and I just thought you'd appreciate that. That is in the news. The Hot 5 at 5 up next, primetime, here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.